Now, for today's GeoQuiz, we're heading to the frozen north, or maybe the increasingly less frozen north. We've heard a lot about the problem of melting ice as climate change warms up the Arctic, but scientists are also worried about something else melting up there, permafrost. Permafrost is the permanently frozen soil underneath much of the northern part of the planet. A new report finds that over half of it may melt within the next 200 years, with big consequences for the global climate. We're looking now for the names of the four countries with the biggest areas of permafrost. We'll be back with the answer and hear more about the big thaw in just about a minute. I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Now, four countries in the world, Russia, Canada, China, and the United States. These are the four with the largest amounts of permafrost, and they are the answer to our GeoQuiz today. Permafrost is the ground that's generally been frozen for tens of thousands of years, but a new report finds that climate change will cause as much as 60% of it to thaw in the next 200 years, and that in turn will cause a cascade of new problems. Kevin Schaefer is one of the report's authors. He's a research scientist at the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado.
Roughly 50 countries have permafrost, and it covers roughly a quarter of all land area in the Northern Hemisphere.
And what does the permafrost layer look like? For instance, here in the United States, where does it lie beneath our feet?
Well, in the United States, it's primarily in Alaska. You have vegetation on the surface of the soil, mainly grass and moss. Underneath that, you got a layer of soil that thaws in the summer and freezes in the winter. And underneath that is the permafrost. It actually extends all the way down about 1,000 feet in northern Alaska.
And covers what kind of territory there?
Well, in Alaska, it covers pretty much the entire state. North of the Brooks Range is all permafrost. And in from the Brooks Range south, it's roughly 50 to 90% permafrost.
And so what is it? Is it organic matter?
Over tens of thousands of years since the last ice age, organic matter has essentially been frozen into the permafrost. And there's more organic matter frozen in the permafrost than there is carbon in the atmosphere today.
And you're saying that this could be about to change. What's causing the change?
Emissions of fossil fuels has increased the temperatures, and it's already started the permafrost to thaw out. Now, over time, the thaw layer gets deeper and deeper, and eventually it'll defrost or thaw out the frozen organic matter. Once it thaws out, it'll decay and the carbon will end up in the atmosphere.
Now, you say that the release of this carbon represents about half the total fossil fuel emissions since the beginning of the industrial age?
Yes, it's a huge amount of carbon. And it's very important to understand that this is going to influence our global strategies to reduce fossil fuel emissions. By that, I mean our emission reduction strategy is going to try to hit some target atmospheric CO2 concentration, which means it's trying to hit a target climate. And if you don't account for the release of carbon from permafrost, you're going to end up with a warmer Earth than you think.
And is there no way to compensate for that release of carbon?
The only way to compensate for it is to reduce the fossil fuel emissions. It's also irreversible. Once you thaw it out and it decays away, there is no way to put it back into the permafrost.
Where have you seen the evidence of the permafrost layer melting?
In Alaska and in Russia, they are actually measuring the thaw depth every year. They're also measuring the release of carbon, and they're seeing in areas where the thaw is deepening, you get the release of this very old carbon from the last ice age.
And so what do you see in the difference? I mean, when the permafrost layer thaws, does the ground slump?
Yes, it does. Frozen water in the permafrost acts like concrete, and it's very hard. But you melt the ice, and it flows away like mud, and you end up with slumps, with gullies, ravines, basically where it thaws out and then everything just erodes away very quickly.
I mean, that would seem to present an entirely different set of problems from having excess carbon in the air.
Yes, it will present a huge problem. It'll disrupt roads, pipelines, airports, all the infrastructure that depends or assumes that the ground is frozen solid. And if it thaws out, well, clearly there's going to be a lot of damage.
When you come across something that such a dire prediction, what hope do you have of accelerating any kind of a remedy, especially, as you say, in this case, a remedy that is basically what we've been hearing for quite some time now, and that is to rely less on fossil fuels?
my hope is that this work, combined with the work of many other scientists, will motivate people to reduce the fossil fuel emissions. I actually have a positive viewpoint of the future. I think we can reduce our fossil fuel emissions, and I think we should.
Thank you very much, Kevin Schaefer. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Schaefer is a research scientist at the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado.